Turn to Proverbs 7 and verse 20. Getting close to the end here. We've got a couple of more weeks on Proverbs 7 after this, Lord willing. Verse 20, we're still talking about the strange woman and her dialogue with this young man. And in verse 19, she kind of shows her cards. And she says, "For the good man is not at home. He has gone a long journey." And we saw in verse 19 that the good man is her husband, and she's assuring this young man that he's going to be gone for a while. He's off on a trip. And then in verse 20, she really wants to assure him. She says, "He hath taken a bag of money with him and will come home at the day appointed." Let's look at that bag of money first of all. "He hath taken a bag of money with him." So the fact that he took a bag of money with him would have indicated at least a couple of things. First of all, he's wealthy. I guess it depends how big the bag is. If it was a little coin purse or something, maybe not. But if it was a good-sized bag, burlap bag, maybe an old army duffel bag or something like that, he's got a lot of money, right? And his wife obviously would have some money too, right, if that was the case, and they probably have a nice place. This could have been an enticement or a deterrent, one or the other, because you think if he's a man of means, then he'll probably have means to kill me if I go into her house. But probably a nice house while the party lasts anyway, so this could be something that was enticing. And then also, if he took a bag of money with him, he's most likely going to be gone for a while, or else he would have just taken a pocket full of coins. So, you know, this is more of something to alleviate his nerves a little bit, to say, you know, he's going to be gone for a while. Wink, wink, hint, hint. So these would be additional reasons why the young man could given to the strange woman's advances. Now, I just want to just notice one little thing here. She said that he took a bag of money with him. She didn't say he took his wallet or he took his credit card or he took his cell phone or something like that, but he took a bag of money. And this is because in those days, people used real money. They used gold or silver. Now, if you look in Genesis 23 and verse 16, Genesis 23:16. This is just one of any number of places in the Bible that show us the type of money that the patriarchs used and that pretty much everybody used until, I think it was actually the Chinese that invented paper money. But it's been relatively recent in human history anyway. Nowadays, people probably don't even think about carrying around gold and silver as money, but even in this country, I mean, that wasn't that long ago that people did that, you know, back in the earlier part of the last century and before. But anyway, Genesis 23 and verse 16 says, "And Abraham hearkened unto Ephron, and Abraham weighed to Ephron the silver which he had named in the audience of the sons of Heth, 400 shekels of silver, current money, with the merchant." So here silver is called money. This is one of a few places where it is called that. And you notice in the Bible, when somebody gives money to somebody else, it always says they weighed it to them. Because money in those days, when it was a commodity, its value was based on its weight. The more it weighs, the more of it there is. And so you'd never do that today. If you go to Walmart, they don't get out a weighing scale and say, "Hey, put your dollar bills on here," because a $100 bill weighs the same as much as a $1 bill, and they're intrinsically worth the same amount of money, right? They're worth about 6 cents or whatever it costs to print them. They're just money substitutes. Only nowadays, they're a substitute for nothing. It used to be money was a substitute for the commodity that it was backed up by. So you go to the bank and you can give them a $10 bill and they give you a half ounce of gold. Well, nowadays, you give them a $10 bill and they give you 10 ones or something. A lot of good that is, right? So they don't represent anything today, but they used to. 2 Kings 23 and verse 35 is another one. This shows that gold and silver both were money. And there in that, you can keep turning, but in that passage there in Genesis, it says 400 shekels of silver. So a shekel was a weight. It could be a weight of anything. But then the name of the weight, the unit of weight, ended up being what the money itself was called, because they would say, "Give me a shekel," and a shekel was a weight of silver. Not dissimilar to the dollar, as a matter of fact. Because if you ask somebody today, what's a dollar? And they'd be like, oh, it's just like a paper note. But originally, a dollar was a weight of silver. It was 271 grains or something like that. I forget the exact weight. But a dollar was actually like a measurement of weight, like an ounce or a pound or something. Why do you think the British call it the pound sterling? Because it used to be a pound of sterling silver. So it's interesting how the unit of weight became the name of the currency in this, you know, in back in Abraham's day. Anyway, 2 Kings 23:35. For whatever reason, this subject's just interesting to me, so I just like to talk about it, but I need to move along. 2 Kings 23 and verse 35. It says, and Jehoiakim gave the silver and the gold to Pharaoh, but he taxed the land to give the money according to the commandment of Pharaoh. He exacted the silver and the gold of the people of the land, of everyone according to his taxation, to give unto Pharaoh Necho. So here it is again called money. The gold and the silver were money. So this would have been what this man, this wife's husband, took with him when he took a bag of money. It would have been gold and silver. I don't know of any other metals or commodities in the Bible that were used as money. So he would have had gold, silver, both or either, one of the two, either one. Now, if a man were to take a large amount of money with him for a long trip, it would require a bag. It wouldn't be something that you could put in your pocket. Now, gold is valuable, small amount. You know, you can buy a lot with an ounce of gold, and that you can put several of those in your pocket. But if he was carrying around silver, that gets pretty bulky if you wanted to make much of any purchases, especially if you're going to be gone for a long time. And we have examples here in Genesis 42 of people taking larger amounts of money in sacks or bags. Genesis 42:35. This is when Jacob sent his sons up to Egypt to get food during the famine. Genesis 42:35. It says, and it came to pass, as they emptied their sacks, that behold, every man's bundle of money was in his sack. And when both they and their father saw the bundles of money, they were afraid. And that's a long journey from Palestine down to Egypt, especially when you're going on foot or on horseback or a horse-drawn cart or something like that. So they took a big old sack full of money for the trip and to buy what they needed when they got there. This is what this woman's husband was doing. And also in Isaiah 46 and verse 6. It says, they lavish gold out of the bag, and weigh silver in the balance, and hire a goldsmith, and he maketh it a god. They fall down, yea, they worship. So he's taking gold out of the bag. And I just think it's interesting, and this will be the last bit of money talk here. But it's interesting, the reason why gold and silver became money thousands of years ago is because they were a useful and valuable commodity just in general for use. People used them for things, for jewelry, and now there's all kinds of use for gold and silver, solar panels and gold and silver plating and electronics and cell phones and all kinds of things. And that's the reason why those metals are worth a lot of money, is because they have all kinds of different uses which other metals don't work as well for, or they don't work at all for. And this verse is alluding to that, because they took gold and silver, or they took gold and hired a goldsmith, and he made it a god. So the gold, not only was it used for money, but it was valuable as money because you could take your money, melt it down, and make yourself a god. And that's valuable to stupid idolaters, right? So they could actually use the money for something. That's why I don't think that Bitcoin is ever going to be money. And I think Bitcoin's a big bubble that's going to burst. Maybe it already has, I don't know. Because Bitcoin doesn't have any use for anything. It's just digits. And you can't do anything with a Bitcoin except for give it to some greater fool that wants to pay you more money than you paid for it. It's a speculative asset. You can't even use it for money. You can't even use it for transactions because it's so expensive. But anyway, so that's just a bit of geek money talk there. So anyway, this is further evidence that she and her husband are wealthy, and therefore she's not a cheap whore, in this guy's mind anyway. I mean,
she's an expensive whore.
Yeah, she's an expensive whore, right. Except she's the one footing the bill, as we saw earlier. So, I mean, even better. I mean, that's the best kind, right? And then she says, and will come home at the day appointed. Appointed is fixed by agreement, settled beforehand. So what she's telling him is that her husband has a set date ahead of time for his return. And so she pretty much knows when he's coming home. He didn't say, hey.
Won't get caught.
Right, exactly. So there's a lot less chance of getting caught. Now, there is always the chance that something happens. You know, the wheel falls off his chariot when he's, you know, 5 minutes down the road and he comes back. Right. Your sin will find you out, and God has ways of exposing you. But, you know, it's looking pretty good, though. He's not going to come home for a month or whatever the time period was, and so we really have nothing to worry about. And she didn't reveal the date to him, but the implication was that he wouldn't be home for a long while, right? So there's not a chance of getting caught. And this assurance would have eased any apprehension the young man might have had, because he should have had a lot of apprehension for all the reasons that we've looked at in the last few weeks. But as soon as she mentioned her husband, he should have had a lot of apprehension. But then he finds that, oh, he's a long journey. Oh, taking a bag of money. Oh, a day appointed. Oh, he's not coming back for a long time. Okay, well, this doesn't sound like it's so dangerous after all. And that takes us to verse 21.
Just a quick note at the end of the sermon. The most important thing a believer in Jesus Christ can do is to be a member of one of God's true churches. If you're not already a member of one, go to pastorwagner.com/churches to see if there is a true church or other believers of like faith near you. That's pastorwagner.com/churches.